We continue our learning of the Mishmas David ben Menachem Mishnah Micham Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu and Meila Perek Dalad Mishnah Vav Ha'orla Vekilei Akerim Mitztorfim Zem Zeh. Orla, the fruit of a tree, the first 3 years, the fruit is Asra Bahana. That's true in Chutz La'aretz as well. Talacham Shem Yisinai, and of course, based on the Pesukim Meparshas Kedoshim, it's Asra Eretz Yisrael. So that's the first 3 years of a fruit tree. Kilayim, Kilei HaKerem, that's Kilayim of the vineyard, that's that which is produced in a field where grapevines were planted next to grains, barley, wheat, or vegetables. So it's Asra Bahana in both of these cases. So if, let's say, these would fall in, let's say Arla alone would fall into a mixture of 200 times the value ratio, 200 to 1, so it's Batel. Arla is Batel 1 in 200, and Kilei HaKerem is Batel 1 in 200. Truma is Batel 1 in 100. Many things are batel 1 in 60. But Arla and Kilei HaKerem very strict. Each one alone is batel 1 in 200. So I only have a case where Arla and Kilayim fell into permitted food and each one alone would have been batel, would have been nullified. Which each one alone makes up less than 1/200 of that mixture. But together, they equal, unfortunately, you have together, let's say a sa'a, together of two of them, falls into less than 200 sa'a of heter. So because they join together to equal that one sa'a, they're going to be mitzdarif to prohibit the entire mixture. Let's say we're talking about liquids. Let's say it's a davar lach, where you have wine from the Kilei HaKerem. Arla, let's say you have juice from the first 3 years. And that falls into a liquid of heter. So there it's not 1 in 200. There it's what we call no sein tam. No sein tam, we assume, is anything more than one, a ratio of 1 to 60. So if alone, each one would be 1 to 60, 1 to 61, a ratio that would be nullified, that doesn't help when they join together. If now it's a ratio of 60 to 2, because the Arla and Kilei HaKerem juices joined together, so then they are mitzdarif, and the entire mixture is going to be prohibited. Rabbi Shimon Omer Einan mitzdarfim. Shimon disagrees. He says, no, they don't join together. They're not going to join together, either whether solid, liquid, does it? And even if together they get, no same time, they give a taste into the mixture. Doesn't matter, because each one alone would not give a taste into a mixture. Each one alone would be batel 1 in 200 in the case where it's not a liquid. But Shimon believes Arla and Kilei HaKerem are shnei shemos, two separate negative prohibitions, and therefore they're not going to be mitzdarim. Now we move on to the areas of tumah regarding clothing. Habeged, the minimum shear of a beged, in order to be metame medris hazav. A zav can make things very tummy. Even if he sits on them, he lies on them. He makes them, and even if he doesn't touch them, even 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, he's metame the 10th mattress below by just sitting on the top one. So that's tumas medris. And the halacha is that clothing, which potentially you can sit on, a zav can make clothing, tamei medris, even if it's the size of 3x3 tfachim. In order to be metam, for clothing to become tamei from other types of tumah, not tumas medris, regular type of tumah, so it can be even smaller, 3x3 etzbos. 3x3 finger breasts. So a beged, which is mekabel tumas medrash, when it's 3x3 tefachim, to be mekamel, other types of tumos, a minimum size of 3x3 etzbos. And that joins together v'hasak, with a sock. A sock, a sackcloth, is referring to a bag that's made out of goat's hair. There, the tumah of a sock, whether it's tumas medrash or other tumos, the minimum size is 4x4 tefachim. So a beged is 3x3 tefachim. Sock, regarding medrash hazav and 3x3 etzbos regarding other tumos, sock is always 4x4 tefachim. So that's a leniency. That means that if you have sackcloth that is only 3x3 tefachim and something tamei touches it, it does not become tamei because it's not big enough. So a beged and a sock, the Mishnah is telling us, are going to join together for tumah, or hasak v'ha'or. Sak, which we just said, sackcloth made out of goat's hair, if the minimum size that's mekabel tumah is 4x4 tefachim, or hide, skin from an animal, that's metame, if you make that into clothing, that's metame when it's only 5x5 tefachim. That's a greater leniency. So if sak and or are together, they join together for tumah. We'll see what specific halacha applies. Ha'or v'hamapatz. The mapatz is where you have something woven out of reeds. So that's even a greater leniency. That's not mekabel tum unless it's the size of 6x6 tfachim. So we have our beged, which is 3x3 tfachim. Regarding other tumos, we have sak, which is always 4x4 tfachim, or which is 5x5 tfachim, mapatz, which is 6x6 tfachim. So the Mishnah tells us in all of these cases, mitztarfim ze im ze, they will join together to be metame, as we've said, like the kal shebeinehem, like the lenient of the two. So for example, you have the beged, which is the most strict of all of them. And that, now I have less than a shear of a beged. So I don't have 3x3 tfachim size of that piece of cloth. But together with a piece of sackcloth, which also doesn't have its requisite shear, they join together, and it happens together, now they're 4x4 tfachim. That would be mekabel tuma. It doesn't work in the opposite direction. You can't have beged and sack joined together for the sides of 3x3 tfachim, which is that of the beged, which is more strict. But beged and sack can join together to give you the requisite shear of the sack, which is 4x4 tfachim. And the same thing with sack and or. Sackcloth and hide can join together, and leather can join together to give you the 5x5 tfachim. And or and mapatz can join together to give the shear, the linen shear of 6x6 tfachim. Rabbi Shimon says, "Mipnei shehein ruunin litame moshav," because they are fit to become tame when someone sits on them. What does that mean? So even though we learned in Mishnah Gimel, we learned that anytime you have cases where the shiurim are not the same, they're not mitzaref, so why should they be mitzaref in our Mishnah? And the answer is because there's a case here where all of this whole list, the beged, the sack, the or, mapatz, etc., in fact, do have the same exact shear. What happens if you take a piece of any of these materials that tefach by a tefach only, and you set it aside specifically for Moshe, for someone to sit on? If a zav sits on that, he's metamiyat, because even though it's a tefach by tefach, you cut out a piece from one of these cloths specifically for a zav to sit on. It's mekamel tuma because of what we call moshav hazav. A zav can be metami, and that shear tuma is a tefach by a tefach, no matter what piece of these clothing we're using. And since they do have a shear that is the same in this particular case, we allow them to be mitzaref in the other cases, even though their shear may be different. Perek Chamishi, Perekei Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah is going to be speaking about Pagam. Pagam, not in Maseches Ksuvos, Pagam, the value of a girl who was violated, that which depreciates, but that's one type of Pagam. This Pagam means that there is a defect potentially in the use of an object. And we mentioned many times that in violating Me'ilor, you're not chayiv until you get Hanofim Hekdesh, a minimum of a Shavah Pruta. There are times where you can be using something that was designated as Hekdesh, and you can potentially use it without causing any damage, any wear and tear on that object. One example is if you're using a kli made out of gold, okay, you use it a couple of times, nothing really happens to it, you touch it a little bit, doesn't do anything to it, and it retains its value. But if you use silver or copper, and certainly certain clothing, depending on how you're wearing it, those there is pagam, there is depreciation, there is wear and tear on it. So the question is, do you violate Me'ilah only when, assuming the item has wear and tear, only where you actually are now using it, it depreciates, this pagam, there's a defect literally, it deteriorates somewhat, or not? So the Mishnah begins, Haneh shaveh pruta min ahetesh, assuming someone got hana, a shaveh pruta worth from Hekdesh, afal pi shelo pagam, even though you didn't cause any deterioration in that item, and it's subject to deterioration, mal, you violate Me'ila. Divi Rabbi Akiva, who says, doesn't make a difference what the item is, once you get hana from it, shavet pruta, you violate Me'ila. Rachachamim omim, it depends. Kol davar sheyesh bo pagam, lo ma'al ad sheyifkom. Anything that has wear and tear, so then you don't violate Me'ila until you actually are pogame that item. V'chol davar she'ein bo pigam. But if it's something that doesn't have the wear and tear, we gave the gold as example, then kevan shenena ma. Then the mi'ila is violated immediately when you get hana. Okay, so the Mishnah gives you an example how to understand this. Nas na katla b'tzavara. You have a woman. Someone had designated this necklace, let's say, as for hekdesh, and she put it on to wear it. She wore it for a wedding, whatever it is, for a few hours. Or tabas biyada. There was a tabas, a ring, a gold ring that was set aside, and she put it on. She wore it for a few hours, set aside for hekdesh, and she put it on to wear it for herself for a couple hours. Shasas up because shows up, or she drank using a golden cup. Which was designated for hekdesh, she drank something out of it. In all of these cases, since it's gold and there's no pagam, there is no wear and tear, kevan shenehenes ma'ala. The moment she gets hana shoveh pruta worth, she violates me'ila. How do you figure that out? So you say, that mean, what does she use? It's okay, how much would a woman be willing to pay to wear this necklace for a few hours to a wedding? So that's how we determine the violation of me'ila. You pay that principal, of course, you add a fifth, and you bring a karban asham me'ilos. What about the lavash b'chaluk? Someone wore a shirt, a garment of hekdesh, or kisa b'talis. He wore a talis, an outer garment, a jacket, or a talis, whatever it is, malbush elyon of hekdesh, or baka b'kardom. You had a shovel, let's say, or an axe or something, and you use the axe, a shovel with that. And these are all darkam lihi pagim. These all are certainly subject to begam, to wear and tear. Lomal achayivkum says, say the chachamim against Rabbi Akiva, and since these are subject to begam, you are not going to violate me'ila until you pogim. Now, how much do you have to be pogim? You have to be pogim a shavar pruta besides the hana that you got using them. So has to now be devalued, depreciated at least by the value of a pruta, and that's when you violate me'ila. Now the Mishnah gives the Gemara explains that when we speak about pigam and this machlokes Rabbi Kivin the Chachamim, it's somewhat limited. Why is that so? Take for example something that's nifkam la'alter, becomes depreciates immediately. So let's say a jacket. So you wear a jacket, a person's an outer garment, a coat. So the person who's wearing it, it's pogame. We assume that's immediately. Why? Because it gets dirty. It's raining outside. He scratches up against the walls. So those are things that are pogame almost immediately. Or let's say an undershirt was designated to the Beis HaMikdash, and he's wearing the undershirt. So he's wearing the undershirt, so it gets sweaty right away. It's getting a little bit yellow immediately. That's a pigam that's immediate because of the sweat of the body. And even Rabbi Akiva will agree that you don't violate me'ila until you're pogim. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that says it doesn't matter what the object is. You violate me'ila right away, even if it's an object that's a subject to pagam. Says Rabbi Akiva, I agree that when it comes to items that the wear and tear is almost immediate, then only if, in fact, you used it in that way and it depreciated in that shavah pruta a minimum amount, you're not going to violate me'ila till you're pogim. Because that pigima pretty much happens automatically, either the outer garment or very much the undergarment. Where's the debate? Let's say it's like a person wearing a shirt or wearing a sweater or something like that. So you're wearing the sweater underneath your coat, and you're not wearing the sweater or the shirt on top of your body. You have an undershirt there. So there Rabbi Akiva says, since it's not nifkam la'alter, we view it immediately. We view it as if it's an item that doesn't depreciate at all. It's where there's no pigam. And once you get hana shavah pruta, you violate me'ila. The chachamim say no. Since it is pogame at some point, even though it's la'achar zman after some time, it is a davar sheishbo pagam, and therefore you have to wait in order. The me'ila is not officially violent until you pogame it or shove a pruta whenever down the line, whenever that happens. Then the Mishnah says, talash min hachatas. You have a se'ira, let's say, a kivsa se'ira, a sheep or a goat, a female that was set aside for a karban chatas, and the truth would be for any kachay kachim, and a person plucked off some of the wool, let's say from the kivsa, some of the hair from the goat from the karban chatas. Kishehi chaya, if assuming it's alive, lomal achi yifkom. You don't violate meila until you are pogame, it depreciates. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, we're dealing with the chatas that's a balas mum. Since it's a balas mum, it's waiting to be redeemed. And since by plucking off some of the tzemer, clearly you're depreciating its value, because it's going to be redeemed, it's going to be sold, but now it has less wool. So it's a davar sheyesh bo pegam. And therefore the meil will not apply, not be violated, until you actually pogame, which means you take enough off hair, enough of the wool, whatever it is, off the animal, that in fact you will violate mila, assuming you get a shavah pruta worth hana from it. But if it's a chatas tamima, it has no blemish at all, it's being brought for hakrava, so it doesn't matter. Once you pluck off the tzemer, it's still ruil akrav. You don't change anything. It could bring it as a carbon anyway, even without a couple of hairs. Therefore, getting hana from it, it will be immediate, because we treat it like a davar she'eno nifgam. Once you get hana shavet pruta, mi'ila has been violated. That's when it's alive. She mesa, but let's say you plucked off some of the wool from the chatas after it died. So then makes no difference. It's tamima, it's balas mum, kevan sheden emal, since it's dead. It can't be redeemed, because we don't redeem karbanos to feed them to dogs, if you remember regarding the karban chatas. So therefore, there's no issue of pagam, because it's not a bas pidyon, it can't be redeemed. Therefore, once you get hana, assuming it's dead, from that hair that you plucked off, you violate mi'ila. This mi'ila happens to be, though the Gemara assumes, is only midrabbanan.